Well, good morning, everyone. It's good to be back. I know that some of you thought I was missing in action, but no, like the last week of December, I was away on vacation, and then I took another week off to go to attend a conference, GYC in Orlando. So that took 5 days, and then when I came back, I had to go to Warren, which is the second week that I always go to Warren. And the last week, I actually had a speaking engagement in the Dallas area, it's good to be back. And for those of you who braved the weather, you are here today, welcome. I don't think I haven't seen this little people since the pandemic days, which is like 2021. But I'm glad that you are here today. I pray that you will continue to stay safe and warm and just be blessed. I want to share a message with you today, Many Builders, One Church. So with that being said, let's have a word of prayer and ask the Holy Spirit to guide us. Father in heaven, Lord, one thing I know for sure, that our worship has to be centered around Jesus. Not only does it have to be centered around Jesus, Father, we pray that your Holy Spirit will be here so that we can make that a reality. So that when we pray, it will be focused on Jesus. When we sing, it will be all about Jesus. When we speak, it will be about Jesus. May all that we do be about Jesus today. And Father, as I speak, may it be about Jesus. And I pray for the Holy Spirit that he will speak through me and that the Holy Spirit will give us ears to hear. Would you bless us? We ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. That slide doesn't look... Okay, it's okay. There's a technical issue with the font. I don't think my font translated, but it's okay. So that building that you see in front of you is actually found in Barcelona, Spain. It's called, and I'm going to butcher it because it's in Espanol, Sagrada Familia. And the building of that... Ooh, sorry. They started building that cathedral in 1882. Is currently the world's longest currently running construction project, which began in 1882 and is not expected to finish until 2026 of this year sometime, if everything goes right. So you do the math, roughly a little less than 200 years. But then we have the Cologne Cathedral, and this one is found in Germany. This is the longest known building of a cathedral that we know of. It started in 1248 and it finished in 1880, taking over 600 years to build. But this one was fraught with many delays, and there was many long breaks in between, whether it be political or money or many, many obstacles that they faced. 632 years to be exact. Now, the cathedral in Milan in Italy, it's the longest known construction project of a cathedral continuously, without interruption. 579 years it took to build this cathedral. Started in 1386 and ended in 1965, in which some of you were born around that time. Not me, 70s child. I look old, but not that. I digress. The cathedral has actually, this cathedral is a pretty big tourist attraction. It has like 3,300 statues, not that that's necessarily important. And it's an architectural, I guess you can say masterpiece. And like I say, it took 579 years to build. These builders that built these cathedrals that took centuries and even decades, they knew that they were starting a monumental task. And really most of them knew that when they started building, that they themselves would not finish the building of the cathedral, of the church. They would never see the completion of the work that they started. And often they were unsure if the building of these churches would even ever get done. They wouldn't be there to witness it. And sure enough, many times they faced challenges. Oftentimes they ran out of money, believe it or not. And sometimes conflicts in architectural vision. They're like, no, no, no. They debated, no, it has to look like this. It has to look like that. No, you can't put that there. And so oftentimes the building would be delayed. And there are times that disease and sickness roll in and it would delay. Sometimes political challenges delay the building of these churches. Sometimes for extended periods of times. But these builders, they built anyway. They built believing that they were building something for God. They built believing that they were building something greater themselves than themselves. And they built believing that even though that they would not see the completion of the church, of this church, others after them would come and continue the work and eventually finish the work. They built by faith. When you look at the disciples, kind of similar. After Jesus dies on the cross, the disciples assume that this is the end. Not just the end of their ministry, not just the end of the movement. They actually thought, this is the end for us as well. We're going to die just like Jesus died. After all, we are his disciples. If they killed our master, surely they will also kill us. But it was not the end for the disciples, nor was it the end for Jesus, as we know today. Our Father in heaven had bigger plans than what they saw. We know that Jesus resurrected 3 days later, and he gathers the 11 disciples, right? Because Judas is no longer in the picture. And he tells them to build. Matthew 28 says this, "Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, 'All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples, build disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them, building the church, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age.'" Did you know, according to the Desire of Ages, the book of Desire of Ages, the disciples knew that this was a monumental task that Jesus was asking. In fact, they knew, humanly speaking, what Jesus was asking them to do was an impossibility. A ragtag bunch of fishermen and a tax collector and a few others, the 11 of them, for them to take the gospel to the ends of the world, even to their limited understanding of the world was, it was a monumental task that they knew was an impossibility, humanly speaking. But guess what? They built anyway, because they were doing it for the Lord. They built anyway, believing that God was God, nothing would be impossible. They built believing that they were building something bigger themselves and bigger than Jerusalem, bigger than Israel. They were building something that Jesus would indicate to them will be a worldwide movement. And they built not knowing whether they would see the fulfillment of the words of Jesus in their lifetime. But sure enough, when we read the book of Acts, we see the fulfillment of the work that started to happen. Hundreds and even thousands of people were added to Christ's followers each and every single day. We go to Acts chapter 2 at Pentecost. The Bible tells us that 3,000 people were baptized in one day because the Holy Spirit was being poured out. The fulfillment of the words of Jesus was happening. The Holy Spirit was being poured out, and God's church was growing. It was being built up. But not everything ultimately went according to plan, at least their own plans. Out of the 12 disciples, did you know, historians believe 11 of them died an earlier martyr's death. The 11 would not see what God's church would become. They would not see the fulfillment of the message going to the ends of the earth. And to be honest, it still hasn't happened yet, right? And so that's that. We're still seeing the fulfillment of that. But for them, they died not seeing the fulfillment of that. Even John, who we know he died of old age, also did not see the fulfillment of the Great Commission. And in building as Jesus asked them to do, the disciples would not see the results of their labors. But others after them continued to build. And generation after generation, they built up God's church because they were doing it for the Lord. They built believing that they were building something bigger than themselves. The Apostle Paul perfectly understood this idea that he writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. He says this. This is Paul speaking. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gives the increase. So that neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God gives the increase. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. Now, Paul writes that Apollos, well, he planted, and his co-laborer in Christ, Apollos, water, but they were one. They were doing the same. They were one body in Christ. They were doing the same mission. But Paul planted, Apollos watered. They were both building up the same church of God, serving the same Jesus. Paul continues and says this, "For we are God's fellow workers, and you are God's field." You are God's building, and this is where I got the concept. It's not something that I made up. He says, you are God's building according to the grace of God which was given to me. As a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builds on it, but let each one take heed how he builds on it. We are God's building. Paul writes that he is a builder that has laid the foundation, but another builds on it, and all for the Lord. They work together. Did you know the early Adventists went through a similar experience? I can think of James White, who died early, pretty early at the age of 60 years old. He was born in 1821. He died in 1881. But there was something interesting that, when I read it, stayed with me. In the summer of 1849 in Connecticut, James White, and this the Adventist movement was in its infant stages in 1849, and James White felt compelled to publish a paper. It was entitled "The Present Truth," and he wanted to share the biblical truth, the amazing biblical insight that God had led them to believe and to understand. And he wanted to share these wonderful truths in a paper called "The Present Truth." But he was penniless. But he felt convicted. I have to get the word out. I have to make these tracts and hand it to people. What he does is this. He finds someone was looking to, mow. And by the way, not a mower back then, right? I think most of us know that. But like a sickle-looking thing where you You mow the field by hand. And I've done a little bit of it. It's grueling work. Not because I'm Asian, but because, anyway, that's a different story. And he took this contract to mow 100 acres of a field by hand at a 50 cents an acre. Now, granted, it might be a little bit more money back then, 50 cents. But he mowed 100 acres by hand so that he can produce a tract, a Bible tract, that he felt convicted to do, to share with people. And that, and if you read the story, by the end of it, James White's hand was raw. It was full of blisters, it was bleeding, it was torn up because he had mowed 100 acres of field so that he can produce a Bible tract for people to read. He sacrificed. He believed in the work of God. He was building, not fully knowing what this building would end up looking like. And James White did not see what the Seventh-day Adventist Church would become. He built building, believing that he was building something greater than himself. He and the early founding Adventists would not live to see what we see today. 25 million Seventh-day Adventists around the world, because they sacrificed and they started building. He would not see that because of his labors and the others who have worked with him, that today we see an Adventist presence in almost every single country in the world. He did not live to see that, but he built anyway, because he understood that he was building something greater than himself. And he built, believing that others after him would take up the work and continue to build God's church. There's James White. Our church, the Beaumont Seventh-day Adventist Church, is God's building. And when I mean building, I think you understand by now, I don't mean the physical structure, but the people. And God is the master architect, and we are his builders. Countless lay people and many pastors have come before us, before me, building. And we build because we do it for the Lord. We build believing that we are building something greater than ourselves. And hopefully, if Jesus doesn't come, that building will outlast us. And we build not knowing if we will ever see the completion of this building. Hopefully we do. Hopefully we see Jesus soon. But we just don't know. We build believing that others will come after us to continue the building of God's church. I spent almost 6 years in this church, here at the Beaumont Seventh-day Adventist Church, believing that we are building something bigger than ourselves. But for me, the time has come to let another person build. You see, all throughout last year, all throughout last year, the Holy Spirit left a distinct impression upon my heart that I will soon be transitioning to another ministry. And in many ways, the decisions I made last year reflected the subtle changes that I thought the church would need, as I ultimately believed that God was leading me someplace else. And really nothing happened until December of last year. I received a request from a church from the Dallas area to meet me and interview me in person. And that was like Tuesday, early December. And I came back, came to church, went on vacation, went to Warren, and last Sabbath, they asked me back. So I went there to preach, and they had a church-wide interview, and after which they had extended an invitation for me to be their next pastor. And really, I did not take that decision lightly. I fasted, I prayed, and I have accepted the call. And so my last Sabbath here will be March 7th. I know this is, I didn't want to, I really didn't want to do this because we still have, I still have 6 weeks that I want to maximize my time with you. And the reality is, this really becomes mixed emotions for me because while I'm excited about the new ministry opportunity, for the better part of 6 years, you have been my church family. And part of my heart breaks that I do have to make this announcement. But I trust God that he takes us where we need to be. And that others will come after me and after us that will continue to build. And I trust that you will continue to be the builders of God's church. Know that you and I, we serve together knowing that we're building something much bigger than ourselves. And that's the building of God's people and the building of God's church. I really didn't think this would happen. I'm sorry, I'm not much of a crier. In the meantime, like I said, I want to maximize the time I have with you. That's about 6 weeks, and I just want to really spend that time with all of you. And I hope that you will keep me in prayer as I will be keeping you in prayer. With that being said, thank you for allowing me to be your pastor, and I'm going to still preach almost weekly on a weekly basis until the time comes, but I still want to thank you for allowing me to be your pastor and 6 years that I've spent here calling you my church family. So thank you. May the Lord bless you and keep you, and be safe and warm today.